asked this morning if I'd had a good week, and to be honest with you, I really hadn't. I hadn't really had a good week in the flesh, hadn't really had a good week in the spirit. But he giveth more grace. And I thank God for that. I thank God that he never changes. And it doesn't matter how high up and down I am. Caleb found a yo-yo yesterday, Brother Danny. And I got thinking about myself. I'm just, that's the way I am. It's just up and down. But he giveth more grace. And it's God. I thank God that it's him that's doing it. It's him. It's all him. And I thank God for that this morning. We finished up chapter 3 last week. James, this whole book has been convicting to my heart and showed me my need of him just more and more. Shows me my depravity, brother. Shows me just my flesh. Just there still ain't nothing good about me in the flesh. There ain't nothing good about you in the flesh. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, he said, from whence come war and fightings among you? These brethren here, he's talked about it through the whole chapter, the last chapter as well. Chapter 2, they've been fighting amongst each other. There's been that contention with each other and strife. He said, from whence come war and fightings among you? He said, where's that battle, that fight, that disputing, that strife, that quarreling, those conflicts that y'all have between each other? Where is that coming from? If you look in chapter 2, he'd even talked where some of them were taking each other to court in the heathen courts. And then if you look in chapter 3, he talked about even envyings and strifes. These men were jealous of each other and they had contention. And brethren, I remind you that he's talking about saved folk. I mean, this epistle was written to the Jews scattered abroad. It's written to church people. It's not talking to sinners. I mean, they're saved sinners. But he's talking to saved people. And the Lord just reminded me that we're but flesh. And that if given a chance and if we walk in the flesh, then we will fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And brother, if you let envy and strife and contentions and things build up in your heart, then before long it's going to start coming out. It will. Trying to read some history on some of this. And Brother Danny, we was talking about that before church. You know, you can't, it's not scripture, it's not infallible. But it looks to me like these men were jealous of each other's possessions. It looked like some of them were even jealous of titles, or this man was lifted above another man. And God said, through the voice of James, he said, from whence come wars and fightings among you? It says, come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Where are these fights and contentions arising from? It's arising from your lust. That word lust there means a sensual delight or a desire. The desire for pleasure. And I look around at the world today, and I know plenty of people that they go to this job and they work and they leave that job and they go to another job, and it seems like that's all they do. They're striving for more and more and more. They're not content with what they got. It seems like the more they get, the more they want. Brothers and sisters, that's fleshly this morning. I mean, we know that. But here it had crept in the church. Where were they? I mean, why would you be fighting amongst each other? Why couldn't we just be happy with what the Lord's give us, with what the Lord's blessed me with? Brother Keith, this morning the Lord's blessed me richly above all I could ask or think. He blessed me this week with some things that I never even asked him for. It'd been good to have. And it is good to have. I thank him for it. But I'd have been just as happy without it. But the Lord knew my desire in my heart, and he gave it to me. And he does that for each and every one of us every day. Brother Keith, he gives me everything I need. Everything. Why would I be ungrateful to him? But here, these men, they're warring, they're fighting. And it says, come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members. That war there is just a fight. And Brother Joel, those things are down on the inside. It says that war is in your member. That means it's a fight in yourself. I have to fight with my eyes. I have to fight with my mind. Every day. And you do too. If you don't fight with them, then they're going to win. They've already won if you ain't fighting against it. Brother, this morning, if you let it go, if you don't fight against it, then your pride will build up. Envying. There's a bunch of people that I know of just ambition. I mean, they want to have that title. They want this. They want that. Why do you want it? Well, they don't want it any other reason than just be seen. Is it going to help them out in the long run? No, but they want it. Brother, that's pride. At the base of it, that's pride. Brother Joel, at the end of the day, our pride and our lust is what drives everything in us. Yeah. That's what drives every sin. Yeah. And it's a fight we have to fight with every day. If you say you don't fight with pride, then you're a liar. If you say you don't have to fight with your flesh, then you must be walking in the Spirit all the time. And I don't, unfortunately. But our pride and ambition, enviousness, covetousness, all that stuff, it fights against the Spirit and in your soul. I was thinking about this when I was reading it. It says, they war in your members. And I got to thinking about a battle, brother, and how you have to have soldiers and all these things. This lust and this pride and all these things is almost like, brother, they're like soldiers. It's in you. And they're fighting. And the only answer, the only thing that can defeat them is the Holy Ghost. Is the God of heaven. Because in your flesh, you won't beat them. Brother Keith, I like me too much. And you like you too much. Why would you fight against yourself? You won't. Not in your flesh, you won't. But it's an inward battle. And from that inward battle is where the outward battles are coming from. You fighting with your brethren, what he's really saying in plain English is you're fighting with your brethren because there's a war inside you. And you're not winning that war. And so you're fighting with other people. That's what he's saying in our language today. It says you lust and you have not. That word lust there means you long for. You're coveting. You're seeking those things that you shouldn't have. Those things that are forbidden to you, but you want them. It takes the meaning there, brother, that you've got your heart set on. That's what it really takes the meaning of. You've done set your mind and your heart towards that. It says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. The word kill literally means to murder. You've got to the point where you're willing to do anything to get what you want, is what he's really getting at here. It don't matter if it cuts you have to cut your brother down to get there. You're going to get what you want. You've done set your heart and your mind towards it. He says, and you desire to have. You're coveting after those things that you shouldn't have. I don't know what the Lord wants in your life. And sometimes I don't know what the Lord wants in my life. But if the Lord don't want me to have it, then I shouldn't be after it. That's what it really boils down to today. It might be okay for you to have it, Brother Keith, but if the Lord don't want me to have it and I'm coveting after it, then that's sin. And like I said before, brethren, if that's the what you've gotten to and that's where we're at, and you're willing to give anything and everything to get to that point, then you ain't even going to be happy if you get it. Once you obtain it, you're still going to want more. Yeah. It says you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. These men here, they're fighting, they're quarreling, they're disputing, taking each other to court over things. Just things of this world. Something that they don't have, but you do. And they want it. And brothers and sisters, this morning God gives us everything we need. What do you say? Even the sparrows, they don't toil, they don't do anything, they don't ask for anything. God feeds them. God takes care of them, and God takes care of us, and He gives us all we need. Everything we stand in need of, He gives it. He's got a vast supply. My God is rich beyond measure. Why would I be ungrateful and say, Lord, I want that. I want what you blessed that brother with. Brother Joe, I think it's right. I've read these verses a lot of times. And I think it's right. He says, you have not because you ask not. In the next verse. It says in this verse, you have not because you ask not. And Brother Joel, he's not talking about here about asking for all these other worldly things that we don't need. But in the right thing, when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, brother, how does that work? The Lord puts a desire for something in your heart. And you pray according to His will, asking Him for what the desire that He's put in your heart, and He will answer it every time. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're praying according to His will. But brother, the secret to that is you have to be willing to whatever His will is. If you can get to the point, Brother Keith, where you want what God wants, and want what God wants for you, then you can pray and ask Him for what you're wanting and He'll give it to you. Because it's for your good. It's for His honor. And so many times, like me and you were just talking about, it's because we can't attain it in ourselves. And He'll get the glory for it. It says you ask and receive not. Because you ask amiss. That you may consume it upon your lust. And these brethren here, they were lusting after things. They were coveting things. They were desiring things that they shouldn't have had. And he said, first off, you didn't ask for it. That's why you ain't got it. And I ain't saying, well, you're asking for things that I don't want you to have. Things that you don't need. Things that's not the will of God for you to have. So you didn't get some things because you didn't ask, and then the other things that you did ask for, I ain't giving it to you because it's not my will. Brother Keith, there's some things in this life that we can ask for that would be good. I think today there's a lot of things that people preach against. Men will stand today and preach against TVs and internet and all these things and phones and But brother, all of it can be used in the right way. The difference is, what's your desire for? Brother Joel, if I want something in my heart so that I can give to somebody else, so that I can help them, if I could be a blessing to somebody else by the Lord giving something to me
and me just being a conduit to give it to somebody else. What would be wrong with that? Nothing. But if I wanted to keep it for myself, to consume it upon my own lust, just to satisfy my only fleshly lust and my desires, there's a difference. And the difference is the God that put that desire in your heart. Brother Joel, when the Lord saved you, when the Lord saved me, He put a desire to love the brethren in us. And I was thinking this week, why do we do the things that we do? I mean, really, why did we do what we do? Why would somebody pray for a brother or a sister that's in the hospital? Why would they take their time and pray for them? Or go and take them their time and give them, make them food and go take it to them? Or why? That's not you. That's not your flesh. Your flesh loves your flesh. And my flesh loves my flesh. And sometimes I let my flesh get the best of me. And I sit at the house and do nothing instead of going trying to be a blessing to somebody. But that desire comes from God. That's the love of God that He put in your heart. Brother Keith, there's times when I get in my prayer place and I pray for, go pew by pew. And whatever the Lord leads on my heart, that's what I pray for. And there's times that when I get in my prayer place, I pray for me. There is. Is it wrong to pray for yourself and your needs, Brother Keith? No, it's not. But if that's all we're doing, if the other never comes into effect, then what are you loving? You loving yourself. God smote my heart this week. Yes, sir, brother, there's things that I need in my life, and there's things that I want the Lord to do. Not just for me, but for my family. Is it selfish for me to want my children saved? I don't believe so. But I ought to pray just as much for your grandchildren, because I want to see them saved as well. Brother, the whole gist of what I'm saying is the Lord spoke to my heart this week about our desires and why we want what we want. Why? It says you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Yes, sir, self. Is what we're asking for, I can tell you right now, right quick, is a simple, easy way to say, is this okay for me to pray for and for me to ask for? Is it going to bring glory to God? Is it going to help somebody else? Is it going to be edifying to the brethren if I get to what I'm asking for? Is it the will of God? And if the answer to any of that's no, then probably shouldn't be praying for it. I mean, we just come down to it pretty easy. James is pretty simple in every teaching he says. He's pretty strong in a lot of it. It says that they may consume it upon their own lust. They want to waste or squander it for their own pleasure. Brother Joel, if I see a brother in need and I don't have to give to him, but I ask the Lord to give me something so that I can give to a brother, that's not me wanting to squander it or waste it. That's going to bring glory to God. That's going to edify the brother. That's going to be a help to somebody. That would be the will of God, surely. And if the Lord wants to use somebody else to do it, then that's great too. But He said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Brother Keith, I thought this week about so many things that I'd prayed for down through the years.
And I done forgot about them. Things I done forgot. I prayed for and asked God for and done forgot. And God brought some of those things to my remembrance this week. And the key to why I ain't got them was my motive. A lot of them. It wasn't His will for me to have it, but it wasn't His will for me to have it because of my motive. Psalm 66, verse 18, He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Brother Joel, the Lord, He knows the desire of my heart.
Yep.
He knows my heart.
Yep.
He knows my uprising, my downgoing. He knows everything about me. Brother Keith, you ain't going to pull one over on God. He knows you. I can fool some people, and they might think that my motive is different. I could lie to them and say it's different. You can't lie to God, because He knows. In Psalm 7, verse 9, He said, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. The righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. He knows your heart and He knows your mind. And He knows why you're wanting what you're wanting. He does. He knows your motive behind it. He knows if there's a fleshly desire in there, if there's a lust. God knows it. He says, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that it may consume it upon your lust. He says, you adulteresses, adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship to the world is enmity with God? We're all adults in this class. We know what an adulterer or an adulteress is. Somebody's not been faithful to the one that God's given them. Going outside the marriage bed. But here God's saying, Chief, it's one that takes that love that they had for granted and goes seeking for it somewhere else. And here, the bride of Christ, the church, we're His.
Yeah.
And if I'm loving something else more than I'm loving God, then here James is calling you an adulterer, or calling you an adulteress. You've left your first love. Brother Keith, I can't rightly say that if all I ever want are fleshly things, if all I ever want and desire to have is the things of this world or positions or titles, then my love for God ain't right. It can't be. And your love of God can't be right. And we ought to love God above everything else. He loved us above everything else, gave Himself for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Brother Danny, He became sin for us. He took every bit of my sin upon Him. Every bit of your sin upon Him. Why? Because He loved us. And He still loves us. In spite of ourselves. I know me, Brother Keith. There is no reason that God would love me. None. Just the goodness of God. It ain't that He foreknew something that I was going to do in the future. Or that one day I would obtain some goodness or righteousness. There is no righteousness in me. It's just Him. There is no righteousness in you this morning. It's all Him. If there is any goodness in you, it's Him. My love for Him ought to be above everything else. I love my wife this morning. There is nobody on this earth that even comes a close second to my wife. Brother Joel, I ought to love God more than that. I ought to. He says, "You know that, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God." Brother Keith, is he saying you can't be friends with somebody from the world? No. He ain't saying that you can't be friendly and nice to people. He's not saying that you can't be a help to sinners. Why would he say that? That's what he did. He came to seek and save sinners. If you're not amongst sinners trying to be a help to them, or to show them the light, then you really ain't doing much. You really ain't. I mean, if all... But at the same time, that shouldn't be my close friendships.
Right.
It shouldn't be. Brother Aaron, this morning, if I start naming off my friends, my close friends, the ones that I really depend on whenever something's going wrong and I need to call them, if I've got more sinners on that list than I got saved people, something's wrong. There's some good people in this world, worldly speaking. There's some people that can be a help to you and you can be a help to them, sure. No doubt about that. But there's something wrong with all, if all you're looking at and all your friends are lost sinners. Why? Because we gravitate towards those people that's like us. Brother Joel, when you have a question or a thought, you want to run past somebody. In the Bible, you don't call somebody that you know believes completely different from you, do you? Why would I call a sinner and ask him about something in the Scripture when I know he don't believe the same way I do on it?
Yeah.
If my close friendships, if my communion is with that all the time, then there's a problem there. That's what I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm not saying don't be friends to sinners. Not saying that. My Lord sit and eat with them. He spent more time with sinners than he sure did with the publicans and the Pharisees.
Yes, sir.
Only times he had real dealings with them is when they came to see what he was up to.
Yeah.
Trying to get him on something. He didn't go to them. He didn't come to seek and to save them that was already self-righteous.
Right.
He came to seek the ones that knew they needed help. That woman at the well didn't think she was righteous. She didn't think there was anything good in her. She knew she was a Samaritan. But that shouldn't be my desire. It shouldn't be your desire this morning. Brother Aaron, if you go to work and all you want to do is sit around and talk to a bunch of sinners telling jokes and carrying on with their foul language and all that stuff and talking about drinking and all the partying and stuff they've done, then there's a problem there. Brother Joel, sinners are going to sin. That's what they do.
Sure.
I'm a sinner and I still sin.
Sure.
But thank God He saved me from some things. He's put different desires in my heart.
Yes.
And brother, and He's telling them there here though that you got a bunch of fleshly desires. You're coveting after things. You're lusting after things that you shouldn't have. And He's just showing them that you've left your first love. In 1 John 2, verse 15, He said, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." He said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy, is the enemy of God. He said, you adulterers and adulterers, know you not that friendship to the world is enmity with God. That word means opposition. He said, you're opposed to God if you're friend with the world. And then he went on to say, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That gets pretty strong, Brother Joel. That gets pretty strong. Yes, sir. It's not just the people of this world. It's the world's systems. The things that they have to offer.
That's right.
In Matthew 6, verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters.
Right.
For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
That's right.
Brother Keith, you can't this morning.
No,
you can't. You cannot love God the way you're supposed to and still hold on to the world. It's not something where you can just ride the middle of the fence. You can't. I told that lady at physical therapy this week, I am terrible at moderation. I'm all or nothing.
Yeah, me too.
It is. That's the way I built. It's either I'm all in or I'm all out. I mean, I really don't understand people that can stay lukewarm. I don't know how. I don't know how. It seems like to me I'm either hot or I'm cold.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. That lady told me this week, she said, you're stretching too much. I said, well, I thought I was supposed to stretch. He said, you know, you're taking it to an extreme. He said, you end up hurting yourself whenever you do it too bad. You're doing too much of it.
Yeah.
I don't know moderation. I don't have it. It's all or nothing, brother. And you can't love this world just a little bit and hang on to it and still love God like you're supposed to. You can't do it. I'm not saying this morning to cut off all ties from everything and anybody. But I'm saying you should cut all ties to all those fleshly lusts and those desires. And I know we're but flesh, Brother Joel.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way I can keep from going back into some of those things is to stay away from them.
Sure.
The Bible says a little leaveneth the whole lump. And it sure will. It's those little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that you let slip in. And it'll ruin your first love. It'll take you away from those things.
Yes, sir.
Brother Joe, I'll just be honest this morning.
Yes.
My flesh still loves my flesh.
Sure.
And it loves the things of this flesh.
It loves it.
But thank God there's a spirit that lives in
Amen.
You. And my problem and your problem and the problem of these people is they are not walking in the spirit like they ought to.
Yeah. Yep.
In Matthew, when he said that, he said, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. There's going to be some enmity there. There's going to be some strife. There's going to be some contention. If you're trying to hold to both, you're going to be getting pulled in two different directions, and it just ain't going to work. You will love one more than you will the other.
Yep.
You will.
Sure.
And what will happen is you end up despising the one.
Yep.
That's what happens. Brother, it ought to be this world that we despise.
Yeah.
That's what it ought to be. It ought to be the things of this world, the systems of this world,
right.
The sin of this world.
Yeah.
Not the people of this world, but the sin of this world. Brother Joel, I can look at a sinner today and hate the sin. but still have love for the sinner. Still want to see the goodness of God come to them, the grace of God come into them, but hate what they're doing. In Galatians 1, verse 4, he said, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present even world, according to the will of God and our Father. Mm-hmm. What did my Lord come to do? He came to save me from sin. He came to save you from sin. He came to save you from the lusts and fleshful things of this world. He didn't save you to go right back out and do the same things that you were doing before.
That's right.
He didn't save me to try to consume a bunch of things. He didn't save me from sin so that I might heap things upon me or lust after things or covet things of this world. It's not why he saved us. Brother Joe, he didn't just save us just from the sin itself. And I know in time, he's going to save me from this flesh, this lust that I have in me.
Mm-hmm.
It will be complete one day.
Yeah.
But he came to save me from all those things that this flesh lusts after.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, he didn't save us so that we'd be conformed right back to it.
Right.
He said, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you can't love me and love the world at the same time. He said, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? I can tell you right there, no. It doesn't matter what the question is after that, no. God didn't ever say anything just to be saying something. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it doesn't matter what he says in the scripture, there's always a purpose in it. There's always some way you can make application to it, to your life, and be a help to you. But then he goes ahead and says what he's talking about. The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Do you think the scripture said that in vain? That your spirit lusteth to envy? No. He wasn't just saying words. They have meaning. And us, our depraved spirit, the spirit that's in you, your flesh, brother, it lusteth to envy. It wants those things.
Yeah.
It goes that way. It always, never one time was it the Spirit of God that pulled me towards sin. It was my sin. It was my flesh that lusted. It was my spirit. My depraved spirit. It's prone to lust. It prompts me to sin.
Yeah.
People blame the devil for what he does. Devil ain't prompting me to sin. It's my flesh. There might be some things that he puts before me, but all he can do is put it before me.
Yeah.
It's me. If there's a problem, if I give into it, it's me. He didn't make me do it. Brother, I thought about Noah. He said in Genesis 6:5, he said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in earth, and that every evil imagination of the things of his heart was only evil continually.
Yeah.
Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Not only just what he was doing, just the things he was thinking of. Everything he thought.
Yeah.
Brother, there ain't nothing changed.
No.
There ain't nothing changed in my mind. I have a battle every day, all day long.
Right.
And every man that walks in this place can say today they had the same battle. Every woman has a battle within herself every day.
Yes.
If left to ourselves, our flesh will sin.
Yes.
If I walk, Brother Danny, if I walk in the flesh today, I'm going to fall. Going to, guaranteed. And if you walk in the flesh, you will too. Guaranteed. But brother, it's the Spirit that lives in us. I need to close. Brother, if we can walk in Him,
yeah,
that's when we can overcome those things.
Yeah.
Galatians 5:16-17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Brother Joel, the Holy Ghost, He don't ever lead me to sin. He's always pulling me away from sin. He's always the one that constrains me. But it's my spirit that wants to pull after those things. He said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brother, I say this morning, if you walk in the Spirit, I won't be lusting after possessions of other people. I won't be envying after what they have. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I won't be looking for a higher title than what the Lord wants me to do.
Right.
If the Lord wants me to be a servant, and that's all, then I ought to be thankful to God that He's willing to use me for anything and do what He wants me to do.
Yes.
The Lord calls you to preach, then preach.
Right.
But I shouldn't lust after something that somebody else has. I shouldn't desire the things that God's given them. If God wanted me to have them, God give it to me.
Yeah.
Right. That's the way my God works. If He wants me to have it, He'll give it to me.
Glory.
Brother Keith, He wants what's good for you today. He wants what's good for me today.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, if we can walk in the Spirit, we can live godly. We can live righteously in this present world. But it's going to take Him. It's going to take Him.
Yeah.
Can't do it in yourself, in your flesh.
Amen.
God bless you this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.